We'll be looking at Psalm 113 today. Psalms 113 to 118 comprise the first of what are known as the Hallel Psalms. The word Hallel simply means to praise. This group of psalms was sung throughout the year as part of the Jewish worship ritual. However, they took on special significance at Passover, since they reflected back to the Lord's deliverance of the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. The first three verses of the psalm stand as a call and a challenge for the people of the Lord to be involved in his praise. In verse 1, we're called upon to fill our hearts and voices in praise because of who he is. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. This is not the only place in the Bible where we're commanded to be a praising people. All throughout the Psalms we read of this. And in the New Testament we read in Hebrews 13 verse 15, therefore by him, Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, continually offering the sacrifice of praise. Offering God our praises. The fruit of our lips. What a privilege and an opportunity to do the same thing that the angels do, that the cherubim do, that the seraphim do, that the creatures of the universe do, praising the Lord, singing praises unto the Lord. The psalmist gives us an example of praise offered to the Lord. We see in verse 2 and 3, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to its going down. The psalmist tells us that God is to be praised from this time forth and forevermore. This is a hint of what we'll be doing in heaven. We read it out in Revelation 4, 5, and 7. That refers to the duration of praise. It is to be eternally unceasing. In verse 3, it tells us that every waking moment is to be spent in praise to the Lord. In other words, praise is not supposed to be something that, quote, unquote, well, when the Spirit hits me, when the Spirit leads me. Praise is supposed to be something that we are engaged in at all times. All times. Look at that again. From the rising of the sun to its going down. We are to praise the Lord. In the remaining verses of the psalm, we're given some reasons why we are to be involved in this matter of praise. You're like, okay, Bill, I understand the scripture says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Okay, I see that a command is issued there in Hebrews. But why? Why? Why should we praise the Lord? Let me encourage you a little in this matter of praising the Lord. Don't let anyone tell you you have to do it like anyone else does it, quote unquote. Certainly, praise is a matter of personality, and whether it involves shouting, crying, laughing, hand raising, etc., it is pleasing to the Lord. Notice the reasons why. You've told me I have to praise him. Why are we to praise the Lord? First of all, in our psalm, verse 4 tells us, the Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. He is to be exalted because of his glory. God is greater than all the glory of the nations. He's greater than all the glories of heaven. When the nations of God gone and the saints fill heaven, that place will ring with his praises. As I mentioned earlier, read Revelation 4 and 5 and verse 7. He is to be praised because of his exalted glory. He is to be praised because of his exceptional glory. Verse 5 tells us, who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? There is none like him. The question is, where is Baal today? Where are the dead and forgotten gods of Egypt, of Greece, and of Rome? Where are the deities of ancient Europe that our ancestors bowed down before? They have all gone away to the ash heap of forgetfulness. One day we'll be asked also, where is Buddha? Where is Krishna? Where is Muhammad? They too, along with all the other false deities and exalted persons, will fall from memory. If all the greats of humanity were paraded across the stage of time, none of them, no one could hold the candle to our great God. No one. Also, I said he's to be exalted because of his glory, because of his exceptional glory, and because verse 6 tells us that he is extraordinary. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? It's amazing that a God like ours would ever condescend to look into the things that take place upon the earth. Yet his eye is on the sparrow, and the very hairs of your head are numbered. Surely his glory is a constant theme for praise. Why are we to praise the Lord? Because of his glory. Why are we to praise the Lord? Because of his grace. Verse 7 of Psalm 113. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Why are we to praise the Lord? For the fact that he reached down. That he reached down. It is unspoken but implied in this verse that God reaches down to us. If it is an amazing thing that he should look upon the earth, how much more amazing that he would reach into the wickedness and the sin of this world to lift us out. Amazing. What's even more amazing is the fact that he would move into this world to rescue us from our sins. And that is exactly what he has done, the scripture tells us. Look at Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. Why are we to praise the Lord? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider him robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why are we to praise him? Because of his grace and because of his mercy. Because he made himself God. Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Became a bondservant. Being in the very form of God. Humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why are you to sing praises unto the Father and to the Son? Because of their glory. Because of the grace that he has shown you. Because he has come to seek and to save those that were lost. Why should you praise him? Why should we even have to ask that question? It goes to show you how even the children of God that have been regenerated, born again for years and years and years, the Lord has to command us to praise. We have to be commanded. Not only do we have to be commanded, we have to be told the reason why. Why must I worship this great God? It just shows you that we got to be prodded. That love for him is not enough. We have to dwell on his glory, that he's exalted, that he's exceptional, that he's extraordinary, that he's reached down. Not only has he reached down. Verse 7, the reference there is to those people who are forced to grovel in the dust of the earth and to try and scratch a bad living. Look at Psalm 113:7. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Why? You ask, why should I praise him? This reference to the dust is a biblical metaphor for poverty. Truly, the inhabitants of the earth are poor and needy. They cannot lift themselves out of their natural condition. That is why he came and he died, why he paid our price, why he paid our price and lifts all who believe in him out of the dust of the earth, and he sets them on high. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Why should you exalt him? Why should you praise him? Because of his glory, because of his grace, because he redeemed you, not with any kind of material of this world, silver, gold, corruptible things, but with his own precious blood, redeemed, bought for a price. Why should we praise him? Because of his grace, because of his glory, because of that grace that was shed upon us, the grace of his lifting us out. Look back at verse 7 again. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. That, brothers and sisters, is a reference to the dunghill. The dunghill brings to mind the great trash dumps that burn continually outside cities in biblical times. That's the ash heap, the dunghill. These were places where the trash was burnt. They didn't cover it over with dirt and put grass on it and have bulldozers to move it around and hide it. They had to burn it and burn it continually. It was the place where the trash was burned along with the bodies of criminals. Packs of wild dogs roamed these places looking for food. A trip to the quote-unquote dunghill would bring you into contact with all the social outcasts of the day. The lepers, the diseased, and the beggars would congregate there, trying to stay warm in the fires that burned, hoping to find a morsel of food to prolong their wretched lives another day. It is fitting that when our Lord spoke of hell in the New Testament, that he often called the Gehenna. Gehenna was a reference to the Valley of Gehenna. I'm sorry, to the Valley of Hinnom, just outside the walls of Jerusalem. There in ancient years it had been a site where the Canaanite god Chemosh had been worshipped. his worship involved the sacrifice of children. The Israelites had destroyed the idols and desecrated the valley by turning it into a garbage dump where fires burned continually and the most wretched of human lives lived. It was a fitting picture of hell. Just as he removes the needy from the dunghill, from the ash heap. Remember this. So he removes the saint of God. You want to know why to praise him? He removes the saint of God from the scrap heap, the dunghill of life. And not only that, but from the future torment of hell. Many of us were found in the junkyard of humanity, the ash heap of humanity, the dunghill of humanity. But we have been salvaged by a gracious God. Why? You ask? You ask? Why should we praise this God? Should I remind you what Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10 has said to us? And you would ask, why? Why? Why should I praise the Lord? Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Why should you praise him? You were dead in your sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You were trapped by Satan. You were a son of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. That was you, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Those innocent little children that you speak of, where you are all by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Why should you praise him? Why? Because of his sovereign grace. You are a child of wrath, but yet God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, but to praise him because of his great love for us, brothers and sisters. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. With the praise him because he made us alive with Christ. And not only that, he raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places. Somehow we're seated in the heavenly places, sitting together with Christ. Raised us up from that dung heap, from that dunghill, from that hellish existence you lived. Why? And raised us up together, made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, hallelujah, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. Why should I praise him? Because of his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Brothers and sisters, he didn't have to give you that gift. He could have left you right in that hellhole that you was in the ash heap of humanity, in the dunghill. Not of works. It wasn't that you what you did or you didn't do. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. You ask, hey, preacher, why should I praise the Lord? Why? Maybe you just never saw yourself as one that was in the dunghill, one that was in the ash heap, one that was in that place where the fires burned and the criminals gathered and the lepers and the diseased and the beggars. He saves you from that earthly garbage dump. And he has also removed you from the scrap heap of a future torment of hell. Is this not enough of reasons that we should continually praise him with the fruit of our lips? And lastly, we should praise him because of his greatness. Look at verses 8 and 9. That he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. That he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home. He takes the worst of humanity and he uses them greatly. He took Gideon from the threshing floor. He took David from leading the sheep to nobody out in the fields. He took the apostles from their fish. And he has taken us from our deadness and sin. He takes us like he finds us. And then he transforms us until a trophy of his grace. We just read in Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship, created for good works. He doesn't lift us out halfway and then leave us to finish the job. He changes us all the way. Behold, all things have become new. You, brothers and sisters, are new creatures. And you have been created to praise the Lord continually. We're to praise him because of his greatness. He conquers our problems. Look at verse 9 of Psalm 113. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Here's the image of a childless woman. It's used to illustrate despair and distress. Certainly the Bible is filled with this image. But God. We're also shown in the Word of God how the Lord took some ladies who were barren, opened their womb, and blessed them with children. Sarah, Rachel, Hannah. He can take the barrenness of your life that has been caused by your sin, and he can cause you to bring forth fruit for his glory. Turn to John 15:5 in closing. He can take the barrenness of your life, the life that you wasted on your own, that I wasted on my own. And it can be said of you, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. Realize this. Here's this Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years ago saying that he would abide in me and I in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Why should I praise the Lord? Because apart from him, I can do nothing Nothing. Not that you can't put your shoes on. Not that you can't go to the moon. You can do nothing spiritual, nothing of any everlasting significance. If you're not abiding with Christ, it is all wood, hay, and stubble. You have wasted your life. But if you have come to Christ for salvation, He has made you a new creature. Now you abide in Him. He's abiding in you. Now you can bear much fruit. Bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. A wicked life is barren, but a life touched by the Lord is fruitful and glorious. The fact that He will lift us up out of our wicked condition and then use us for His glory is a beautiful reason why to praise Him. Would you agree with the psalmist? I brought forth the evidence. Would you agree with the psalmist that He's worthy of our praise? I think, brothers and sisters, all of us can and would and should. Is He getting the praise that He deserves from your life? May we all determine in our hearts that we will praise Him with our lips. And not only praise Him with our lips, but with our lives. And not only with our lips and with our lives, but with the labor of our hands. For we are His workmanship. We're to praise Him with our lips, praise Him with our lives, and praise Him with the labor of our hands. For He is worthy, and He deserves all the praise that we can give Him. Therefore, let us praise the Lord, for He is a great God. He is a gracious God, and He is the God that is full of all glory. And my friend, if you're listening today and you have never come to Christ, I would beg with you, plead with you to come to Christ. For He is the only one that can lift you out of the ash heap of this world, of the dunghill of this world. And even if you get through this existence on earth, even if you get through this existence on earth without much pain, heartache, and suffering, the scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you shall be saved.